Welcome to the Word to the Wise podcast. Pleasure to have you guys here. My name is Terry Patrick, and I just want to talk a little bit about the time that I was offered the relocation package. Don't know if you guys have ever had one of those before, but it is something that is it's a beautiful thing, but it also has its ups and its downs. Now, I was applying for a company that I already worked for. And in this interview process, it was like the Holy Spirit. It was talking to me over and over again. It's like the Spirit came upon me and it was like, you got to get on the freeway right now. And every time that I did, I would get a phone call from the application that I had put in another state. So one day I get this phone call and I'm on my way to work. And it was them. They wanted to interview me. And in that interview, and I'm telling them, okay, I'm cool with the interview, but I'm driving at the same time. And in the traffic in California, man, it's hectic. And while they're interviewing me, there's a car trying to not let me on the freeway. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where they want to ride door to door with you. So I'm trying to answer questions and trying to get over. And this car speeds and rams right into a car right in front of us. Rear-ended them. I slam on brakes. I swerve over while I'm answering interview questions. Bananas. And they were like, you okay? It's a loud siren. I'm like, yeah, I just saw a wreck. But it happens. And you guys go ahead and keep asking your questions. And I always felt like I don't interview well to begin with. But this situation, it was hectic. It was stressful. But I knew it was going to happen, kind of like a premonition or a intuition, if you will. So I finished the interview. I pull into the parking lot of my job. And hopefully, I'm just hoping everything went well. Well, it did. They wanted me to have a third interview, but they wanted it to be in person this time. So the company was willing to fly me out for an interview. So I flew out and on a Sunday night. But you got to understand, I threw my back out. I have a trick back. I had gotten into, two wrecks in one summer, and I had been through chiropractic and had an inversion table that I invested in, but I also had some painkillers that I couldn't take because you get drowsy and you shouldn't be driving on that level of painkillers. So here I am, out of state, in a hotel room, laying flat on the floor, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this interview. I have no idea. I'm like, get me through this, please, because I need to be my best, and I am not. Have you ever been in that situation where it's time to show and prove, and you need to be the best that you can be, and you know you're at a disadvantage? But I showed up anyway, hobbled my way into the waiting room. I sat there, and when they called my name, I stood up tall, and I'm looking around this place and wondering, is this something that I really should do? Because I really felt like it was something speaking to me. It was telling me that this is the right choice. I sat there and I gave my interview. And the people that were interviewing me, they were drilling me, man. Because this is for a major promotion. And it's out of state. So I sat there and I answered their questions. And they said, you know what? We want to give you a tour of the facility. I'm like, uh-oh, you want me to walk? So I'm doing a good job right now of, you know, and just shaking and faking and doing the best I can while I'm sitting. But if I got to stand up and walk, I don't know how it's going to happen. But I did understand something. I stood up and my back didn't hurt anymore. Did the walk, went back home, airport, rent a car, drop off, fly back in, and I get a phone call saying, you got the job. They offer me the relocation package. And the relocation package is a beautiful thing. Part of it is they fly me and my wife back to out of state and give us what they call like a house honeymoon. not knowing the cities, not knowing the different locations. So we were just going off schools because my oldest daughter was in community college. My middle daughter, she was in high school, and my youngest daughter was in middle school. So we wanted to live somewhere where there were good schools, but not too far from the job. But we couldn't find anything in 2 days. So we go back home, we jump on the airplane, and they say, well, we want to pack your house up because you have to move within a certain time period. It was happening so fast. All this time of just waiting, waiting, waiting. Well, waiting is a verb. While you're waiting, you should be doing something. And this is what they do with the package. They said, don't touch a thing. We'll pack everything. We'll put everything into the boxes because we're going to be responsible. We're going to load the truck, and then we're going to move you guys out of state. If you have vehicles, then we will transport those vehicles on flatbed trucks. If you would like to fly your family to this new place, then we'll pay for the airfare, or we'll pay for you to drive. So what we did, we had four cars. And we chose to drive to transport to. And once you get there, they will move your property into a storage unit or into the new house that you have purchased. If you haven't bought a house, then the company will give you a furnished apartment and a stipend for food so that you can live there for 30 days while you look. I took the apartment, I took the food stipend, and I told them, put all my stuff inside of a storage unit. They said, now we won't move it out the unit into the house. Now we will unload the truck. We're gonna unload this truck once. If you put it inside the storage unit, we'll pay for the storage unit. So put all our belongings there. We're living out of suitcases 30 days in this apartment. My wife left her job. My oldest daughter left college. My middle daughter said goodbye to all her friends, and my youngest daughter. Everybody's has this, this tension that is going on. It's stressful. But me, as the man of the household, all I know I got to do is get up every morning, show up, and do my best at the new job because everything is hinged on my performance. And I did just that. I think I did very well, too. End of that 30 days, we still hadn't found anything. So we chose at that point to lease a house. It was a nice house, 5 bedrooms. We leased a brick home, 2-story, So while we leasing, we can be able to breathe and really look around at what we wanted to do. We start looking at houses, and man, I'm like, man, these houses are high. I thought they was a little bit cheaper than this. Had I known then what I know now, hindsight is 20/20, right? If you look back, you can see things real clearly. Had I knew then what I knew now, I thought the housing was expensive, but that was the cheapest it was going to get. I'm like, I'm going to wait and see what happens. So we sign a 1-year lease inside this rental home while we get ourselves situated. My oldest daughter got her a job. My wife got her a job in that time, in that 1 year. And my middle daughter, she was doing well, going to high school, learning cosmetology. My youngest daughter got involved in drama in the department over there in STEM. She was heavily involved in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics at her school. So everything was going pretty good. Until we start looking around and start finding houses that we felt were just about what we wanted. But it was always missing something. We had this idea of what we wanted. And if I'm going to pay that kind of money, I want it to be exactly what I wanted. Here's what we had to do. We saw floor plans that we liked. So we went ahead and invested in a company that would build our house. It was our dream home. Yes, we were going to build a dream home. And we were there invested. We put down our earnest money. We put down everything that we needed for them to get started. Pandemic hit. Oh my goodness, when the pandemic hit, it changed everybody. Did you see the selfishness of people? The pandemic, I mean, it brought out the worst in people. Just something as simple as toilet paper. You see, saw hoarders come and buy up everything, not having any consideration for their fellow man. Well, that transpired for a while, but all the while, the house building process stalled. Supply chains dried up. They couldn't get materials, and we understood, as we should. You know, we were considering. We said, you said you would take at least 10 months to 1 year to build the house. It took them over a year and a half, almost 2 years. Now, keep in mind, I signed a 1 year lease. And after 1 year, I'm like, well, when will the house be ready? Okay, well, we don't really have a date that we can give you. All we can do is say that it'll be done as soon as possible. We are short on builders, people who left the construction industry. They didn't come back. So we have a limited resources. We don't even have glass and brick. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. The rental company's pressuring me. You need to sign another lease. So I sign a 6-month lease. That 6 months comes and it goes. And now I'm asking, when will the house be ready? I need to know. Because a 6-month lease, you pay more than a 1-year lease. They said, well, we're getting close. I can't sign another year. I can't even sign another 6 month. Why would I lock myself into another year in a lease and then the house is ready? Now I'm paying for two houses. It makes no sense. So we go month to month and they gouged us. They make you pay a penalty. Because you won't sign long-term, being month to month. Finally, after they broke the ground and I'm taking pictures and I'm there and I'm watching them lay down the plumbing and pour the concrete and I see them finally start to erect the building. And we were one of the first houses in this cul-de-sac, a cul-de-sac with only about 12 houses. So it's going to be a close-knit neighborhood and everything looked good and it was coming along really well. And the gentleman who was working with me died. Great dude. He was like, man, Terry, we got you. We got you. We appreciate your patience, too. We got you. All right. Just be patient. And you know what? I'm going to throw in some French doors for you because you're so patient. Now, I'm going to throw in a 9-foot fence and we're going to make that a mahogany brown for you. He kept giving me these extra little perks just to keep me in the game. But then he passed away and may he rest in peace. And after that, things went horrible. Horrible with the whole house building. Well, they were finally getting to the finishing touches. And I was going by there at least 4 or 5 times a week. I was inspecting everything. Everything. This is my dream home. I picked the colors, the rock, the stone, the tile, you know, the Juliet balcony up there. We had a media room with over 18 speakers in it and 100-foot screen and all these things that we picked out. And they said, the house is finally ready. I'm like, okay, well, couldn't you have given me a heads up because I'm paying, you know, out the nose over here on this lease. They said, okay, well, it's ready. Do you have your financing? I'm like, yes. So the finance guy that I'm working with, he was like, well, okay, we can just push it through and go through the final paperwork. They told me the house was ready on a Friday. On Sunday night, they put my house up for sale to anybody else. You know why? they were charging over $180,000 more than what I contracted for because the prices of houses had risen since the pandemic until the year, the 2 years later, where it was available and they gave me 3 days to be able to close paperwork, knowing that it takes you 15 days at least to close on a house. Robbery. I call them immediately. I'm like, what are you doing? Why is my house for sale? Why is my house on Zillow? They said, well, we told you on Friday it was ready. You should have had your paperwork ready. I'm like, you didn't tell me a month in advance that it will be ready. I wouldn't have paid my lease that month. Okay, I would have took that money and used it as moving expenses. Give me the heads up. Give me the courtesy. Give me the right and the respect that I gave you for 2 years. I gave you 2 years and you couldn't give me 2 weeks. It was my dream home and they snatched it away from me. And you know what? They got that price. I did what any person would do. I lawyered up. I had to. And when I lawyered up, we contact somebody who was out of the area so they wouldn't be invested because they kept trying to send me to someone at the corporate who don't take headquarters at the builders, right? And this woman was so snobby and I mean, my goodness, she enjoyed it. She was so selfish and she reveled in it. She was like, it was just like ecstasy for her. I couldn't understand how you sleep at night knowing you're snatching someone's dream house away from them. The lawyer said, I've investigated this company that you're talking about and they're professionals at getting sued. He said, now I can take your case and it's going to cost you about $5,000 to fight this case. But here's the thing, they can still sell the house. We're going to try to put a stop on that sale, but they can still sell it. He said, but here's the caveat. We win the case. You may not get the house back if someone else is in it because you have a contract for the build. I'm like, no, I have a contract for a home. I'm like, you have a contract for a home until you pay the price. Now the price has changed. I'm like, what do you mean? My contract has a number on it. My contract has a number. He said, well, this is what you have to do. You have to fight the case. It may take you a while, but if you lose the case, it's going to cost you the difference between what you wanted and what they sold it for. $180,000 plus my fee, plus their lawyer fees. You could be out $250,000. $250,000 and not get the house. $250,000, you'll be out. Yeah, who got $250,000 just to be for no home? I'm like, that makes no sense. And it's got to be a law against it. He said, they got a law department and they got a fine print in there. Now, if the old boy who was helping me the whole time, if he was alive, I strongly believe that this would not have happened to us. My wife cried. My kids were distraught. I'm stressed out. And I still got to show up every day and do my job and put on that face and be corporate America. Yes, I had to do all of that in the midst of what was happening to me. It's like, I felt like God didn't like me. I felt like God was against me all of a sudden. How you let this happen? We found ourselves in a brand new job market, brand new housing market, brand new economy. The homes when we first took that trip, now they were going for twice as much. People were, know what they were doing? They were overbidding on these homes. The homes were limited because they were supply chain had broken. So you would see a house. And somebody else would say, you know what? I'll give you $50,000 extra if you make me the successful bidder. I couldn't compete with that. Yes, and I had an agent. out there searching for us. We searched through so much many homes, and it was always something that was missing. You know what we were doing? We were comparing these houses we're looking at to the dream house we built. This is not that. This is it's not that. We had to stop that. We had to get that out of our heart, because it had tainted us, and we were losing out on homes that we probably could have moved into, but it was not going to have something. We just wanted the things that we asked for, and certain things that we had to let go. Like that media room might not get that. You know, my wife wanted to make sure that it had a 6-burner stove and an oven in there. Double ovens, and wanted to make sure it was gas. I personally wanted an office, and everybody wanted these little things, you know, like a big backyard. You can raise a family in and have picnics and entertain and vaulted ceilings. You had to let it go. I'm talking about settle and pay more. Have you ever been in that situation where it was going to cost you more and you got to give up your preferences? It was a tough time. Finally, we gave up. We just stopped looking, and we were still paying month to month. Here's where it gets really, really crazy. Leasing company want to put us out. They said, "You told us you were moving." I'm like, "I thought I was." "No, you told us you were moving, so we've already put your place up for lease, and we got some potential people who want to come over and take a look at it." I'm like, "Wait a minute, so I can't go to the new place. They sold that. I can't stay here in this rental place. You've already rented that out. Where can you go when you can't go home? Where can you go? Here I am in a new state, strange land. Got my family behind me, believing in me. And me and my wife, we are like this. We were on the same page. And it was trying to pull us apart. But boy, the ties that bind us together were stronger than those that could tear us apart. We stayed strong throughout it. It's fortified our marriage. We met this young lady through a friend of mine. He said, "Man, you looking for a house?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got to find something. I got 30 days. And he's like, "I know somebody who can get you in a house. She sells houses quick, and she ain't going to let up until you get one." She took a look at our numbers. She was like, "You got everything in line. I mean, you got the down payment. You got good credit score. You got everything that you need. You got a stable job. You got work history." Which is like, what's the hang up? And we told her what we were looking for. She's like, "Come on, follow me." And she took us around for about 2-3 days. And I'm gonna tell you this much: we found our house. We found it. Same size as the dream home, same square footage, all those rooms and things that we wanted, same thing, everything that we asked for, everything we was looking for, everything that we could not find, she found it for us. And guess what? It was for the same money that we contracted in the first place. Only difference was now this house is 10 years older. That whirlwind journey let me know that when I walked in to this place, I was standing inside of a prayer that was answered. When you open up a door and you let, and God is telling you, "Yeah, I put you in a situation you couldn't go nowhere else. I brought you to where I want you to be." And the neighbors, I couldn't ask for better neighbors. It is a beautiful thing to get a company to give you a relocation package. And it took 3 years for a single prayer to be answered. But be patient. Keep waiting. But waiting is a verb. You got to do something while you're waiting. And we did everything that we could. And sometimes it felt like we did too much. But there are people in this world that are selfish. pandemic showed us that there are people in this world that are despicable. That building company showed me that. And there is also love in this world. There's also love. It's out there if you keep looking. Thank you guys for tuning in for another broadcast of the Word to the Wise podcast. I have been Terry Patrick. And you know what? I'm going to see you guys around. Please keep tuning in to this show because I have another thing that I would love to tell you. Want to hear about it? Well, I'll see you soon.
I hope you like the podcast, and you really like the podcast.
Come on, be serious.
And you really like my podcast. Like and subscribe.